Malott or Malot, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, versus Glenda Malott or Malot. Mr. Kmetz, Mr. Summers.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, sir. How closely did I butcher, or how badly did I butcher?
It's Malot, Judge.
Malot, okay, thank you. Mr. Kmetz, you may.
Thank you, Judge.
Would you care to reserve any of your time?
I'd like to reserve 2 minutes, please.
All right, so glad to hear from you, then.
Can we clear up something?
Yes, Judge.
Initially.
Yes, sir.
In looking at the transcript here, at page 57, in the judge's opinion, she writes, and this is, she writes, counsel for the parties have agreed. The court has ruled the wife should have spousal support in the amount of $2,500 per month for a period of 8 years. Counsel for the parties have agreed this period should comprise the 5 years during which a Pendity Lighty order entered by the Circuit Court of Halifax required husband to pay spousal support in that amount, and an additional 3 years. And then going to the transcript. This is you at page 248. I would further say that since the first divorce action in Halifax County was dismissed on August 22nd, 2007, there should be no amounts of child support and spousal support due from the 1st of September until February 2012. It's a plaintiff's position that that's the earliest date that the court could order child support and spousal support in this case. I'm talking about your second assignment or spousal support.
Yes, sir.
Thereafter, you filed a motion titled Plaintiff's Response to Defendant's Analysis and Argument Requiring Retroactive Child Support. Now, I'm not talking about child support. I'm talking about spousal.
Yes, sir.
What did the court order? Why was it error for the court to order to enforce the Pendity Lighty decree that was in effect until the case was dismissed? What error was that? And secondly, what error was it that you don't claim that starting in January 2012, I could order spousal support?
Judge,
And did you agree with that?
What I agreed to was that the judge wanted to award the appellee 8 years of spousal support.
Uh-huh.
So there were 5 years under the Pendenti Lutti order. It was entered non-pro-tunk to August of 2002.
Right.
It was dismissed due to lack of prosecution.
Yeah, I understand.
So there's the 5 years there. So I agree. And he owed that anyway. Because
well,
there was a valid Pendenti Lutti order up until August 22nd of 2007.
I agree with you.
Thereafter, there was no order, valid order existing. There was no plea by the appellee until she filed a late answer and cross-claim in January of 2012.
What 3 years was the trial court talking about? You got the five that you agree.
Absolutely.
What 3 years are you talking about?
You have to. It's got to be prospective from the date that she asked for the award.
I thought that's what it was. I thought that's what the court ordered. Starting in January, 3 years. I don't. Where did the court order 3 years of spousal support in the interim period between January 2012 and 2007?
Because
where's that order in the file?
There is no order there, because that's not what that didn't occur. The judge ordered that, as I said, the 5 years during the Pendenti Lutti,
yeah,
and then the 3 years for the future,
okay,
prospectively.
Okay.
Which you apparently agreed to.
I'm agreeing with you.
And I agreed that the 5 years would be is valid because he was under a penalty of legal order anyway.
What's the error? Well, if you agree about the 5 years was correct, is that right?
Yes, sir.
What about the 3 years perspective?
Oh, that's and that's the only thing that the judge could do. 3 years be commencing really on the 1st of February of 2012. Because the pleading wasn't filed
until
end of January.
You agree that the judge could do the 5 years back up to the when it was dismissed.
Well, I don't. She didn't have jurisdiction over the case, number one. But in working this out, we agreed that the 5 years that he was under the pendenti litis order. He owed that money anyway, and she wanted to consider that.
So where's the harm to your clients? What I'm trying to...
On the spousal
support. I mean, I understand your argument on child support. I get that. I'm just struggling to figure out why we're fighting over spousal support when all the trial court did was order him to pay what he already owed and then ordered some prospective support, which everyone agrees the court could do.
And
so it seems like it's very abstract. The court couldn't do this, but it's kind of... The way I'm looking at it, maybe I'm wrong, is who cares? Because he's not being ordered to pay any more than he already had to pay.
I would agree with you, Judge.
Well, if that's the case, then your second assignment of error, as I read it, is as follows.
Maybe it was wrong, didn't have the authority to order this thing, but no harm, and therefore...
You say the trial court erred in awarding retroactive spousal support beginning in August 2002 and ending on September 1, 2010. But the trial court did not do that.
And that...
The trial court didn't do that. Trial court said, you owe for the 5 years, which you agree...
Yes.
And prospectively, starting in January, you're going to pay for 3 years. So your second assignment of error is simply, you allege an error that was not made.
Well,
you see page 4 of your opening brief?
Yeah, I have the opening brief. Yeah, and
the trial court simply did not do what you claim was error. And you've agreed that what the trial court did was not error. The 5 years...
I would concede that, Judge. I mean, I think that...
Well, I gather that you concede that you withdraw assignment of error set 2?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we don't have to deal with that.
Correct.
Now, let's get to the real issue in this case. So there's no question about it. Assignment of error 2 is withdrawn.
That's correct, Judge.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead with your argument.
With regard to the child support, there was obviously, and this is a question of law, so the standard of review would be de novo. With regard to the child support, obviously there was a pendenti litis order in effect from August of 2002 to August of 2007. It was dismissed under the rule, the statute that allows the court to dismiss a case when there's been no action taken. And that's what the Halifax Circuit Court did. We were before a different panel of this court last September on an issue of asking the Halifax Circuit Court to reinstate because it was a due process violation of the appellee. That panel of this court denied that, and so there is no pendenti litis.
Let me see if I can synthesize this because
yes, sir.
It might help us all. Do I correctly understand your argument with respect to child support essentially to be that while the circuit court could order child support retroactively, it's limited in its retroactivity to when you actually ask for support?
Absolutely, Judge.
And if I am computing the dates correctly, would you agree that if there's error here, the error is limited to ordering support prior to when it was first requested, which would have been, I guess, if I'm reading the record correctly, January 18th, 2012.
That's correct, Judge.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Well, my understanding is you're not complaining about the child support up to 2007 because
it was a valid order, Judge,
and it was paid, or
well, it was withheld by DCSC.
And so the only thing you're contesting is post 2007 to January 2012.
That is correct, Judge.
Now the statute reads: liability for support shall be determined retroactively for a period measured from the date that the proceeding was commenced by the filing of an action with any court. That's what the trial court relied on.
Yes, sir.
I gather the core of your argument is that there must be an existing proceeding somewhere for the court to rely on this statute.
Yes, yes, Judge.
And that at the time the court relied on this statute, there was no proceeding existing.
And from another court, there was my clients.
Yeah.
Well, and from 2007 up until March of 2011, there was no proceeding whatsoever, valid proceeding, before any court in the Commonwealth.
And there has to be an existing, at the time, proceeding somewhere.
Yes, sir.
And there wasn't at this time because of the dismissal, for lack of proceeding.
That is correct, Judge.
Okay.
McCullough has a question you want to answer.
We agree with you. Is there any need to remand, or do we just lop off the portion of the award that is retroactive?
I think you can do that, or if you wanted to remand for the Norfolk Circuit Court to recalculate that.
I think we have to remand because I don't like doing math. So,
but
I took this job with the understanding there'd be no
math. No math. I think
in other words, that's all that would be happening is to lop off that retroactive portion. But there's, I mean, unlike spousal support and all that, I mean, there's no need to just redo everything. You just sever off
sever off from August 2007 until February the 1st of 2012.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Summers? I think we made your job a little bit easier.
May it please the court. I'm grateful for the concession at the lectern. It's always nice to have to not say something when I'm here.
That doesn't stop some lawyers, though.
Tell me why the court had the power under 20-108.1b to do what it did with respect to child support.
There is nothing in this record that indicates that the order that was remanded to the Halifax JNDR court ever died.
Ever what?
Ever died.
Well, that's another question. What was the order? I haven't seen an order, and I can't find in the record, from the JND court of Halifax County. All I've seen is a remand for enforcement.
I believe you're correct, Your Honor. But...
Well, how do you like with Millot 1? I mean, didn't that Pendity Lightyear die when the case was dismissed in Halifax?
From this record, I don't think you can say that is the Pendity Lightyear order. I think it's an order.
What is the Pendity Lightyear?
I think it's a support order, Your Honor. I don't think when it came...
Where is the support order in the record?
I don't think it's in this record. I don't think the actual order is in this record, Your Honor.
I couldn't find it. Well, then how can you rely on it if it's not in the record?
By inference from the one order that's on page 76.
We're supposed to infer court orders?
Your Honor, I have to live with the record I have.
I know. But let me ask you another question. Suppose exactly the facts here, except back in 2007, the parties reconciled, and the husband or wife took a non-suit. And for 5 years, they're happy living together. And then, nope, they break up again. And another lawsuit for divorce action. Could they go back and say, gee, there was that Pendity Lighty order there, and I realized this was non-suited, but I want you to, these last 5 years, I want you to have me pay that. Could they do that?
Your Honor, I think there's a sharp distinction between the voluntary acts of the parties and a dismissal for failure to prosecute on the part of the court.
What's the difference? Both actions are ended.
willfulness, I think, is the point, Your Honor. When parties reconcile, it's an act of will. They decide to undo the initiation of a split.
Well, the lack of prosecution of the case in Halifax demonstrates a will, does it not? They chose not to proceed. What's the difference between choosing not to proceed, Your Honor, with my case and not suiting it?
I'm going to be very specific. Failure to proceed is not necessarily evidence of a choice not to proceed. There's a fine distinction, I'll grant. But the point is, when cases fall into disuse, for lack of a better word, and people do not have their personal dockets, we become, apart from active docket management by their attorneys, we become complacent. They lose it.
Mr. Summers, let me. I'm not sure. I think we all agree on what the law says here. I mean, that's not really up for interpretation too much. It's how it applies to this particular factual situation. One of the things that troubles me is the facts are rather muddled, and we're stuck with it. The case in Halifax was ended. Now, that certainly does not end anyone's obligation to pay accrued arrearages. And those can be enforced. At some point, a contempt order was issued. Contempt was apparently purged. Arrearages were brought current. And then we have this exhibit, which is, in essence, a spreadsheet, if you will. And importantly, both the joint appendix and the actual exhibit have the first column cut off, which are the date is the date column. So it's simply impossible, at least for this judge, and I suspect neither of my colleagues are any more able to discern what isn't there than I am, is what is the beginning date, if you will, or at what point do the numbers match up? So I guess to answer an earlier question, it seems to me no matter what we do short of an outright affirmance across the board here, we're going to have to send this thing back for at least clarification, if nothing else. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I simply saw the mouth close. I thought you were done.
Yeah. My wife does that too, so.
The one point I would note is the trial judge wrote a letter that's in here that is actually part of the record, and the trial court noted that David Malo had a chance to contest the numbers, and he didn't do it. I think at this point, because as the trial court wrote, and this is back on page 100 of the joint appendix, I did note some minor differences in Mr. Jeffrey's figures, those Mr. Kometz attached. Mr. Jeffrey provided his figures with his February 5th, 2014 request for determination of arrears. Mr. Kometz, in response, restated his objections to the substantive ruling, the can we do this point of it. But he never contests the numbers. The court inquired several times thereafter.
Well, why would he contest the numbers if he said you don't have the power to do it in the first place?
Your Honor, the point that I'm trying to make is, if we're right that the court did have the power, those numbers are fixed now. And the fact that this court can't look at the left-hand date column means that the numbers are the numbers are the numbers, and we have to believe the facts.
I don't know about that, but here's what troubles me, Mr. Summers. And maybe your position is different, but would you agree the law prevents a court from ordering support prior to when you ask for support? I'm talking about child support.
I think that's a correct statement of the law.
Okay. And we have a clear date with respect to this proceeding, the one that's in Norfolk Circuit Court, as to when child support was requested. So we can certainly deal with that part of it. We then have these arrearages from this prior proceeding that was terminated. We have no idea from this record what those are or were. The proceeding was terminated. There was indication in the record the contempt was purged, and there was an agreement that for whatever it's worth, that everything is current as of a certain date, whatever that is. If we're all agreed that the court cannot order support prior to when it's requested, and if we construe this court's order as doing just that, then it seems to me, at least facially, that's error. Are we on the same page so far?
I am, Your Honor.
Okay. then in terms of what the amount, assuming that's error, it seems to me we would need to clarify and require the circuit court to clarify by remanding back to them to the trial court to determine basically what it means by its order and to clarify what amount is actually owed from the perspective point when it could order that onward. And if there are arrearages that it's ordering paid that were unpaid, it needs to clarify that record as well. Isn't that where we're at here?
Without conceding that there is an error, I think you're right. That if you do conclude there was an error, you've got to go back down to the trial court and straighten out the numbers.
But do you claim there's an arrearage for anything, child support, due before 2007 when the suit was dismissed?
I honestly don't know the numbers, Your Honor. As Judge Humphreys commented, if we were good at arithmetic, we'd all be doctors.
But I thought, as Judge Humphreys alluded to, I thought there was an agreement that whatever was owed before 2007 was somehow purged, the contempt was purged.
I think some of it might have been. I'm not sure all of it was, which is why if...
I thought the Division of Child Support Enforcement had... There's that letter that they had ceased all enforcement and all that.
I think that's true as far as it goes, but I'm not sure that DCSE ceasing enforcement means that we're all there. I think you can get to a point where DCSE says we're out of it, it's current with us, but there may be other arrearages. I mean that as a possibility. That in my previous experience on DCSE cases, at a certain point, the department says, we're done. Because the parties continue to behave as the parties sometimes do. And DCSE is then out of it. Sometimes they come back in, but at some point they get current.
Well, then we're back to the point where this order doesn't make it clear exactly how the court is arriving at these amounts.
And with respect,
granting your point, assuming we had evidence in the record of what the arrearages actually were, the court could certainly order those. The statute seems to me is clear on that. But the court hasn't made that clear in its orders to how it's arriving at the numbers it's arrived at and the dates it's arrived at. If we all agree that you can't go before January of 2012, because that's when support was requested, that clearly is the beginning point for this particular case, and then the court's only other authority to do anything else would be to collect accrued arrearages that were owed from a prior proceeding.
Your Honor, I would note that the trial court had all of this information, and it did name a number in its order, the ultimate order, the subject of this appeal. And I think, however imperfect the calculations are, that number is binding on this court unless you can find the error and acknowledge what Mr. Kometz has told you.
But what's also binding on this court is a lower court order that, at least facially, orders retroactive child support beyond which the statute would apparently permit unless it was arrearages.
And I believe it is. But I think the trial court, in its series of transcripts and orders, says these are good numbers. It says that in part because when David Malone was asked to contest them, he doesn't. He doesn't come in and say these are the correct numbers, even though the court asked him multiple times to come in with his own set of what's actually owed. I think for the purposes of this appeal, a challenge to the amounts is waived. He didn't really go to the trial court and say, these numbers are wrong, here's where they're wrong.
But the question is, as to amount, are you saying that he waived his objection for the 2007 to 2012 because he agreed with the numbers? They waived the first assignment of error here?
No, Your Honor. He's waived his ability to challenge the quantity of dollars.
I'm afraid I don't follow you. If the court didn't have the power to order 2007 to 2012, then and the numbers include there, the numbers are just wrong.
Our first point, Your Honor, is that because of the earlier orders in Halifax, it did have that power, which is why we are saying the numbers
are. No question about it.
If you agree with the appellant, then I agree with all of you that the numbers have to go back for recalculation because, as you've all noted, that gap means that the sums are wrong. I'm speaking from our point of view, which is the court had the power to do what it did.
I understand.
And that's because of this remand to JNDR?
Yes, sir.
But why wouldn't that essentially appendage to the circuit court lawsuit vanish when the circuit court case is dismissed? I mean, why? How does it continue to live when the overarching case is gone?
It's my understanding of a remand that it's an independent action, that it, when the circuit court sent it back down to the JNDR.
To enforce the pendente lite amounts.
That's the point. It was a pendente lite order as opposed to a final order. So once the pending litigation is gone, which is, I think, Judge McCullough's point, what's the support for the continued...
And Milote v. Milote won the first case. This court specifically held that all pendente lite orders died along with the dismissal. I mean, that issue in between these parties was decided, wasn't it? Isn't that what Milote 1 said?
I believe it. You're correct, Your Honor.
Yeah.
I'm down to 41 seconds. I don't think I can contribute much more in 41, but I'll be happy to answer any other questions.
I mean, is there any authority for the proposition that in this context, the remand from circuit court to juvenile and domestic relations court survives a dismissal of the circuit court action?
I found no such authority.
So, all right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Anything else you want to add?
Judge, just very briefly, with regard to the spreadsheet that was attached, that was based on Judge Hall's decision or order to calculate the arrearage based on her ruling of going back to August of 2007.
So you're saying the spreadsheet is, if she was in error, the spreadsheet is just no good.
That is correct, Judge.
Right.
That's our position. Thank you. If you have any other
questions. We'll come down to Greek Council and then take up Holiday versus Commonwealth.